This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listening to the Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, we're back 1 week after Tom Brady wins another Super Bowl. And I may or may not have vomited once that happened. I am Vince Quinn, back with you on CBS Sports Radio. We got a lot of stuff to get to. It's going to be a fun, crazy, busy, ridiculous night, because if you've been following the show, one of the things that you know that I've been talking about pretty frequently, and really it's dominated my life over the past 2 weeks especially, fan-controlled football, baby! Fan-controlled football made its debut. It was insane. It was totally off the rails at times, and I loved every second of it. So we'll be talking about that. We'll be following up on some of the Super Bowl stuff and where we stand in the NFL a week later. Again, I'm not even going to say his name anymore. After a certain guy that happens to wear 12 won the Super Bowl. And let's go and take a look right now at Houston, which just seems to keep coming up. Like, it's really shocking, because it's not like one of the things that happens when you do a job like this is people love to refer to me as the media, which I don't think I really count. I'm not texting people for sources. You know, I'm never reporting anything. I do a late night weekend overnight show. You know, it's not exactly like I'm Skip Bayless out here firing off all sorts of crazy takes and whatever agenda that you might think certain people have. Like, that's not what I do here. But we keep going back to the Houston Texans and criticizing the Houston Texans again and again and again, because, my goodness, it's just always something down there, right? It's nonstop. It's always, there's some sort of weird happening in Houston ever since, I don't know, they blew that playoff game against the Chiefs a little over, what, a year ago? How long ago does that game feel? That game feels like it was 15 years ago at this point. But Bill O'Brien coaching the Texans, they have that great first quarter. They lose the lead by halftime, and the team is just, they've been a wreck ever since. It's crazy. It's completely crazy what has happened with the Houston Texans. And the thing that highlights it now is J.J. Watt, right? So for J.J. Watt, at this stage of his career, does it make sense for the Houston Texans to move on from him? Absolutely. But let's talk about the circumstances of how they moved on from J.J. Watt. Because here's the thing. They didn't have to do it. They didn't have to. But they got themselves into a situation where really there was no other choice. They put themselves in a corner. How do they do that? Well, they brought Bill O'Brien back. Then a couple of weeks into the season, they rightly, because they shouldn't have brought him back in the first place, a couple of weeks into the season, they decide, you know, this is a joke, and we need to change things up here, and let's get rid of Bill O'Brien. So they do that, and then things really start to get weird, right? They fire their PR person, and people around the league are making noise about that. I think J.J. Watt had a statement about that. He had times where he would have press conferences and talk about how the team didn't want to win, and there was no competitive spirit down there in Houston. I mean, it was ugly. There are many times in every sport where somebody who's been a franchise great, and you look at the career and legacy of J.J. Watt and what he means to Houston, right? Because for the Texans, who've only been around since, and I know there was the Oilers, but talking about this franchise, they're not called the Oilers. It's a different team. For the Texans, he's probably the greatest player they've ever had. And he's a guy that's very likely going into the Hall of Fame, should go into the Hall of Fame, and he's getting out of town. He hated it there. Absolutely hated it there. And for Houston, it's so crazy. Like, I can't imagine what the life is of a Houston fan, because you have the Astros, they win the World Series, you find out they're all cheaters. The organization has no apology for that whatsoever. They're just like, yeah, whatever, deal with it. You have James Harden and him just begging out of town. Then you get Deshaun Watson. Then J.J. Watt gets let go. I just, for anybody who's listening in Houston, because I know we're live in Houston, I hope you're all right. I hope this situation is not driving you completely insane. But it is sad that the Texans got to this point, because guys like that, as much as we've seen them go to other teams, you see great players. For example, you know, Phillip Rivers just played a year for the Colts. Now he's calling it quits, but he did play that year for the Colts. It happens. Happens all the time. Well, for J.J. Watt, he didn't necessarily have to go. He's still productive. He's a good work ethic guy, locker room guy. But everything around there is so toxic, he doesn't want to be there anymore. And that's the tragedy of this, if you're Houston, is one, you ran this thing so miserably that he was demanding to get out. Now, they decided to do right by him, and they let him go rather than trade him, so he gets to choose his destination. And I know there's going to be, because even for me, my first reaction was, and this is the problem when you're a bad franchise, right? When you're known across the league as having all sorts of issues, especially in the front office. The assumption is that when the reputation is bad and the track record recently is bad, that everything you do, if it's questionable or even close to questionable, it's bad. And on the surface, when they first released J.J. Watt, I go, oh, well, this is a joke. This is a mistake. Right? How do you do that? You could have gotten whatever for him, a fourth, a fifth, a third, eight firsts. If you're the Eagles and you're trying to sell Carson Wentz, good luck with that, fellas. You look at the whole thing with J.J. Watt, and they did right by him. That is important to say. I don't know how much credibility it does for the Texans. I don't know if it's going to make anybody interested in going there. I certainly don't believe it does anything for Deshaun Watson. But they did right by J.J. Watt to look at that guy and go, you know, we get why you want to get out of here, or even if we don't, we respect that you want to get out of here and you want to go somewhere else, and we're going to allow you to do that. So J.J. Watt earned that. It's good that they did it for him. But again, Houston should have never been in the spot. How did they get here? I mean, how did they get here so quickly? That's the thing that's surprising about it. They did this in no time flat. How promising were they, what, 2 years ago? I mean, seriously, a year ago? Before the season started, September? You have Deshaun Watson. Sky's the limit, right? It's with a quarterback that's that good at that age, you just feel like you've got forever now. Well, summer turned to winter pretty quickly in Houston. And it's surprising. Because the downward spiral is just, it's really unfathomable. I mean, you're going from a team that felt like they were going to contend every single year for the next 10, 15 years to who knows when they make the playoffs again. Who knows if they have Watson back? And the whole thing to be in total disarray, like, that's the shame of it. Because look at Tampa Bay, right? What is Tampa Bay? You've got the old quarterback in Brady. He comes in. They've got a pretty good team there. They add a piece or two. They add some of those guys that, you know, just wanted to play with Brady, took deals for cheap. Your Fournettes once he got cut. Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown. They go and win the Super Bowl. And for Houston, you wanted to be those teams that was in the conversation. You add a piece or two. And you're there. They were there a year ago. Like, that was the kind of feeling that they had. It was like, if they just make a little tweak here or there, or if they just change the coach, they don't need to do much. You looked at the roster, it was good. Just a little tweaks. They should have been able to keep J.J. Watt. Like, that's the biggest problem. They should have been able to keep him. So, it's just an absolute failure as much as they're doing the right thing by J.J. Watt here. So, for him to be out and available now, it certainly begs the question, well, where does he go, right? And there's so many fun things to think about with where he goes because you know people are going to be interested in him. Any team that's remotely relevant is going to be interested in J.J. Watt, and they should be. Let's get the fun one out of the way first, right? It's going to Pittsburgh, isn't it? Like, J.J. Watt going to Pittsburgh and lining up with his brother who was potentially snubbed as defensive player of the year. I'm not going to tell you I studied defensive line tape because, you know, I got to spend time with my girlfriend once in a while. She lives in the room with me. But sounds like he got jobbed. If you ask J.J. Watt, he did. Do they play together in Pittsburgh? Is that possible? Are they a big enough contender? Maybe. Fun little storyline, by the way, with Pittsburgh this year and something that we'll see soon enough. Big Ben was talking about, hey, I'll do basically whatever I got to do to put the Steelers over the top next season. Does Big Ben take a cut? How big of a cut is it? Is it enough that they can add J.J. Watt with T.J. Watt? And now you've got a really interesting and fun dynamic. Maybe. I'd love to see it. Team that makes sense, not exactly sexy, not exactly fun, Tennessee Titans. They've been trying to work on that pass rush and brought people in, first-round picks, trades, whatever they could do. It just hasn't quite been what they expected. They know J.J. Watt better than anybody, right? Playing in the division, maybe he goes there. But basically anybody who's anybody that's remotely relevant should want J.J. Watt. Obviously, the other fun one, of course, is Green Bay, which that would be great. Seeing J.J. Watt go back to Wisconsin and give him the chance with Aaron Rodgers to go and win a title, that'd be pretty cool. It reminded me a little bit of Charles Woodson, who just got inducted into the Hall of Fame, won a Super Bowl late in his career, was with Oakland, left, joined the Packers, wins Defensive Player of the Year. I think the next year he wins a Super Bowl. Pretty cool story. So for J.J. Watt and where he goes, you know he's going to go to a contender, right? He's not going at this point. It's not like, yeah, well, I'm just getting the most money in this place. He's been around long enough that you got to figure he's one of those guys that says he wants to win a title and means it. Some guys say it, and they're like, well, it's $65 million over 4 years. Who am I to say no to Jacksonville, you know? And then their careers just wither and die. I don't think that's going to be the case with J.J. Watt. So you look at the whole picture here, and it's fun. I'll say that. It's fun that the Texans screwed this up because this is the kind of thing that you love to see. Just on a totally selfish level, as somebody who likes football, you like to see big names hit the market. And for J.J. Watt to go and hit the market now, it was a little bit surprising, but it does make sense. This has been building for a while. And how much does the dynamic shift based on where he goes? The other thing is going to be as well, think about this. J.J. Watt might not be the only guy that this happens to. J.J. Watt is probably the only guy that it happens to because he's horribly disgruntled with a bad organization. But there's going to be a lot of veteran players, I would assume, that get cut this year that you wouldn't exactly expect them to get cut. Because salary cap's going to go down. That's the expectation. At best, it's going to stay the same when normally it rises about $10 million a year. Which, think about $10 million a year. That's just adding a, you know, starting middle linebacker to your team. Like top contract middle linebacker. That money just appears in your lap. You go, okay, we got extra money to spend now. This is great. That's going away. And then odds are you're going backwards. Teams don't plan for that. Nobody expected the NFL to go backwards. You expect to just make more and more money every single year. That's what they've been doing. That's why Roger Goodell's the commissioner of the whole thing. But with this year being what it is, you could see other guys like J.J. Watt getting let go. So just something to keep an eye on here is obviously you just have a completely insane situation down in Houston, and this is one of the many side effects of that mess. By the way, I am Vince Quinn. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty of the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. We'll go to the phones. Let's talk to, and if you want to join the show on the phones, by the way, 855-212-4227. That's how you get in, 855-212-4227. You can also hit me up on basically any form of social media at It's Vince Quinn. Twitter, I'm on the gram. I just posted on the gram the first time for a while. That's big. It's big news for me. I'm on Twitch. You can find me on Twitch now at It's Vince Quinn. So anywhere you say, you just find It's Vince Quinn and yell at your computer, and it'll get to me one way or another. Let's go to Nick in Illinois. Nick, what's going on? Hello, Nick. Nick going once. Nick going twice. Nick, you have been signed by the Texans. Good luck. Good luck, my friend. We've banished him. Yeah, I guess I'll go back a little bit more into Watson here, because you look at this deal with J.J. Watt, him getting released, and now he's got the opportunity to go somewhere else. And naturally, again, the same way I thought it was a bad move by the Texans up front because they could get a draft pick for this, they did the right thing and let him go, and he's earned that, and they don't need to trade him to some middling or bad team late in his career with the injury history that he's got. I totally respect it the more I've thought about it. But does it mean anything for Watson? What does it mean? It doesn't really mean anything. I'd love it to, because it's fun, right? It's fun. Like, we love gossipy fun. Where's this guy going? Oh, he hates this guy. How's it going to push that guy? It's fun. It's fun. But I don't think it changes anything for Watson. They're totally different. J.J. Watt is a guy at the back end of his career. He was on the last year of a contract, very easily movable. There's no dead money. Deshaun Watson is everything. To say he's, you know, a gold mine is an understatement, because there are multiple gold mines on the planet. There's never been a Deshaun Watson situation in the modern history of football. That's the thing. He is so uniquely, singularly rare. Deshaun Watson is Mewtwo. That's for like six people. You're welcome for the Pokemon references. As Graceffo shakes his head. But and rightfully so. But there's only one. It's just him. Like, there are no 25-year-olds that are available like this. So for Houston, it's like, oh, they let J.J. Watt go. Does this add pressure for them to move him? No, it doesn't. It doesn't change anything. What kind of monster offer do you get? And even if you get that monster offer, is it enough to move off of a guy like Deshaun Watson? I mean, you're crazy to move off of this guy. If you could do anything, the begging, the plea, like literally Jack Easterby and Nick Caserio, before they trade Deshaun Watson, should legitimately try the idea of, hey, maybe we drive to his house and we have a nice bottle of wine and a fruit basket. And he opens the door, and they just drop on their knees and grovel. Like, they just got to grovel and cry and be like, Deshaun, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. Please take us back. Like, they should do that before they trade him. And if they don't do that, there should be a riot in Houston, because you just don't give a guy up like Deshaun Watson for any reason whatsoever, and they might do that. So I don't think Watt influences it. It's just such a unbelievably rare thing to happen right now. It's so historically unusual and unique. Watt doesn't do anything here. So anyway, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. There is something that could actually impact Deshaun Watson, and we're seeing the movement in a very real way. We're going to talk about that next.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, Spider-Man and freeze in full effect.
You ready, Ron?
I'm ready.
You ready, Dave?
I'm ready, Slick. Are you?
Oh, yeah. Take it down.
Girl, I must warn you.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, the song is dedicated to my ex-girlfriends on Valentine's Day. You were, in fact, poison. I don't miss you. Now, let's continue the show, shall we? Couple of things that we've been getting into. Well, a couple of things. One, we've had one segment. I'm doing just fine. We got into J.J. Watt so far and just how much of a mess Houston is. And I want to get into something with... Yeah, Deshaun Watson adjacent, because you're looking at the landscape, the NFL right now, and there is something that is brewing across the league that we absolutely have to get to. I want to get to it in just a minute, but we do have a call from Texas, and so let's go to Roger. Roger, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
What's going on, fellas? I'm here. I'm definitely tapped in with y'all, man. How y'all doing tonight?
I'm doing good. What's up, man?
Good to hear you. Nothing much, man. Just I've been a diehard Houston sports fan all my life. I was I'm on the way home from work. I work at Taste of Texas restaurant. I remember being in the fifth grade in 2002. He was taking me to school, my dad, and I was asking. They announced Houston's getting a sports team, a football team, the Texans, and I was just like, "What happens to the old team?" And he said they left for getting a new team, and I've been diehard ever since. And news like this, Deshaun Watson, this was going on now, man, I just can't understand it, dude. It just really breaks my heart, you know, in every aspect of Houston. I told my mom the other day, the only time I've ever cried tears of joy in my life was when the Houston Astros won the World Series. That's when I understood why people cry when they're happy. Then I found out that they cheated. I found out that the Rockets, Harden's leaving, you know. What's going on with Deshaun? And it's just like, I don't know how to feel anymore, man. A lot of people are saying, Rod, are you going to another team? And I tell them, yeah, I'm leaving. But deep down inside, I know I have to ride or die with them.
Well, that's the tough thing. When your teams become really, really awful, and you've had that attachment where they've had stretches of being really good, it's hard. It's hard to make the switch, but you can't just jump ship like that, you know?
You can't. You can. A lot of people like just jump ship. And I say I can do it, but at the end of – I say I'll go wherever Deshaun Watson goes. I'll go and be a fan of them. But I'm always going to be looking at the Texans. What are they doing? That's my team at heart, man. No matter who the owner is, you know, I want Cal McNair gone. I'm waiting for the first time they say his name at NRG. Because you're going to hear – you thought we booed Matt Shaw pretty loud.
Yeah.
You're going to hear – oh. NRG is going to be rocking with you between Easter being your boy Cal McNair, man. But football decisions, man. Just I'm a regular guy, but there's some football decisions trading away Hopkins for nothing.
Yep. For nothing.
It just doesn't make sense.
No, it's a mess.
I don't know what's going on at NRG. It just doesn't make sense at all.
It's crazy. And, Roger, I feel for you, man. I feel for everybody in Houston. I appreciate the call. Like, it's tough. The team that won cheated. Your other big superstar, NBA superstar, impossible to get those guys. You have one. He wants out. He begs out. He puts on weight to get out. I mean, he did the opposite of Jenny Craig, whatever that is. He just put on 30 pounds and was like, yeah, hey guys, I'm here, but I'm fat now. And then they're like, oh, okay, well, you're playing anyway. Let's get him extra large shorts and get him out there. And then, what do you like deflating a balloon, he steps off the plane in Brooklyn, and suddenly he's like a supermodel. He's just like super skinny and looking good. It was like, what just happened? So you go through that, and now Watt and Watson. Yeah, like it's crazy. For the people in Houston, it's a rough stretch. Now, let me say this, because with the Watson stuff, here's the interesting thing, is there are some of these things are very dumb stories. They're dumb. The Dak Prescott story, on some level, is very dumb. If you haven't seen it, the basic idea of Dak Prescott this week was the Dallas Cowboys put out a video on social media. It's like 32 seconds. I'm pretty sure it's 32 seconds long. That's 32 seconds. But Dak Prescott, is it in the video? So there's a controversy around that, and there's more to talk about with it. But there's a conversation right now about, are the Dallas Cowboys moving on from Dak Prescott? Because He wasn't in the video, and also they franchise tagged him last year. He had the injury. Are they going to franchise tag him again? Is he worth it? So they're going through this whole big crisis of what's going to happen with Dak Prescott. You've got Carson Wentz and all this talk about, you know, whether or not they're getting first round picks for him is a whole other conversation, and a sad one for me personally as I wear my Eagles hat, but let's not worry about my tears. But that's a quarterback that's trying to get out of town. Then you've got now Russell Wilson. This is a dumb story, right? It's dumb, but you can feel the power of it, where he goes on the radio or TV, wherever he was, and it's Dan Patrick. So he's on with Dan Patrick, which is both. So there you go. And while he's on there, he's talking about how, like, the offensive line hasn't blocked for him for years, and he's just had to survive, which he has. And Seattle's management wasn't very happy about that. Now, there's all the speculation. Is Russell Wilson happy? Does he want to get out of town? So to have the Russell Wilson speculation, you've got Dak Prescott speculation, Stafford just got dealt for Goff, you've got Carson Wentz. Like, there's a lot of things right now with quarterbacks moving. And by the way, Tom Brady left the team that he was ready to move on from. He goes to Tampa Bay and wins a Super Bowl. So there's just a lot of momentum right now for quarterbacks getting out of town. And especially once that Wentz deal gets done, whenever it does, and you got to figure that sooner rather than later, then it just continues to add to the pressure. And so for the Texans, as everything around you, and you're living in this world where you're constantly having conversations about Deshaun Watson, it's the biggest story you have. It's the biggest story the franchise has ever had. I mean, really, what's a bigger story in the history of the Texans than a 25-year-old franchise top five guy begging to get out of town? That's it. That is the biggest thing they have ever gone through. And you've got this front office living with that every day as other quarterbacks around the league are talking about getting out of where they are or they have been dealt. That's a tough situation. And so it's going to continue to slowly, one, normalize the idea. Because, hey, I've talked about this. We've talked about moving Deshaun Watson in some capacity for the past, what, month? I mean, seriously, it's been a couple of weeks. It's not going to go away until he gets dealt or the season starts and he shows up for camp. So we're going to be having these conversations a lot longer. We're going to see other quarterbacks getting moved. That's a lot of time to live in a world where you're having conversations about moving Deshaun Watson. The more you talk about it, the more it's discussed, the more comfortable you get in it, right? The more relaxed. You've heard it a billion times. You've dissected it a million ways. You processed it. So it becomes easier to move him. So as things like this pop up, whether some of these stories are dumb or kind of funny or silly or very serious, incredible, whatever they are, it still leads to that conversation of the idea of getting Watson out of there. And it makes it more likely by the day. So we'll see. Like, does Russell Wilson get out of town? I don't know. Maybe, probably not. But Watson, the idea that we're having those conversations about Russell, it makes it just a little bit more likely for Deshaun Watson. Just a little. So 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. Here's what I want to do next, because we've been talking about the NFL, but really, let's be honest, the FCF is the best league in America, right? That's the best. Graceffo, you know this. I know you're a diehard FCF guy. Do you even care about the FCF? Have you been following the FCF at all? Or is it just me rambling about it to you?
Both. But I would say me following it is a very small percentage as opposed to you rambling about it.
Okay, which I do all the time. That is my, like, every conversation with my girlfriend is like, so with the FCF? And she's like, all right.
Yeah. I was asked to explain it to somebody yesterday, yeah. And I really struggled.
Well,
so there you go.
Well, here's what we'll do next, because they played their first game. So what is the FCF? What the hell is it? What do they do? What is this league about? What happened tonight? Why should you be interested? Well, I've got a lot to say on the topic. It's the craziest, most amazing, beautiful league.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio. We'll be right back. listening to The Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
And Tom Brady has committed an absolute travesty. We are going to hold Tom Brady accountable for his reckless behavior in just a moment. But first, let me tell you that I'm Vince Quinn, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. So, let's go back a couple of days to the Super Bowl parade in Tampa, shall we? Because, one, let me just say this. I love the parade. I love the parade. I don't care what team it is. Well, I kind of care that it was Tampa. I wasn't thrilled about it being Tampa. But once it happened, it was just a reminder of why I love the parade. The parade is one of the best things we have in sports, period. It's one of the best things we have. You know why it's one of the best things we have? Because we get these famous people who are very guarded, right? How many times do you see all these different athletes and they're at a press conference and they're just like, yeah, you know, we're just working hard. We're just playing hard. We're just trying to do great, win the next game, be a good team. We're there for each other. Next man up. You know, it's all the boring, exhausting nonsense that these guys love to spew out. But then they get to the parade. And what happens at the parade? Well, you just won a championship. You're going to have a couple of beers. You're going to get loaded. Parades are amazing because you see all of these athletes just totally wrecked in public. It's great. Who doesn't want to see that? Isn't that fun? Isn't that incredible? I'll tell you right now, for me, I'm an Eagles guy, okay? Big time Eagles fan. If you've never seen Jason Kelce's Super Bowl winning speech, you are missing out. You're
Trump
missing out.
Welcome.
Yeah, no, seriously. Graceffo, have you seen Jason Kelce's Super Bowl speech?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. How great is that speech?
The one where he's rambling and yelling and dressed like a wizard? Yeah,
he's
sure.
Dressed like a... Yeah, he's like dressed like a giant leprechaun. It's technically a mummer, and that's a Philly thing, and it's not worth the time explaining it now. But Jason Kelce is a big man in a giant, colorful sequin outfit, just absolutely on a tear about the critics who were wrong about that team. And technically, I was one of those people. But it's
Green
one of the...
Vodka.
Yeah, well, and that's what it is at the parade, right? I mean, these guys are just getting loaded. Like, when I was at the parade, it was literally, there was a big bus that went by, and these guys are standing on the top of the bus, and as they're driving by on the bus, people in the crowd are just chucking beers up at them. And what do you do when you're an athlete that just won a championship and fans are throwing beers at you? You chug the beer.
The guy is drunk.
Yes, of course. Of course you're drunk. It's a parade. I would be on some level upset if they weren't. Like, go live it up. I mean, we're talking about, and especially with the parade that just happened, it's Tom Brady. It's Mr. Avocado Ice Cream. It's Mr. I Don't Eat Nightshades. Nightshades are a thing. They're not like how you block out the sun and go to sleep. No, it's a type of food. Okay, well, that's news to me. So he doesn't eat those. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. I still don't know what a nightshade actually is outside of it's food.
Drunk.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, yeah. So for Brady to see him loaded and just like kind of wobbling around, and Gronk was helping him out, like that was great. It was great. I'm not even a Brady guy. I'm absolutely not a Brady guy, but that was great. You know, it's because it's just one again. Like, why not? So remember Ovechkin a couple of years ago? How great was the masterpiece? Maybe it was a year ago. It was like the greatest thing ever. To watch Alex Ovechkin just completely hammered, just stumbling around everywhere with the Stanley Cup. It was great. Parades are great, okay? So here's the thing, is in this parade where Tom Brady is clearly blasted and just having a great time, as he should, he's on the back of a boat, okay? They did the parade on boats this year because of COVID. So they're on a boat. And Tom Brady is on the back of a boat, and he's looking at the boat that's right behind him, that's following his. And he's got the Lombardi trophy in his hand. And think about this, right? Think about what it means to hold a Lombardi trophy. Like, how many people in the history of mankind have had the opportunity to hold a trophy of that level of significance? In terms of social popularity, the amount of people that are dedicating their lives to that single award, and Tom Brady's got it in his hands. And he looks at this boat that's like 30 feet behind him.
And he goes, I'm going to throw it in that boat. So Tom Brady, how many beers in he is, I don't know. But he grabs that Super Bowl trophy, and he starts like, hey, here we go, let me line this up. And his daughter's screaming, Dad, no! And Tom Brady launches the Lombardi trophy out across the river and into the boat behind him. Of course, successfully, because he's Tom Brady.
Whoa, so, Nelly!
Amazing moment. Just absolutely reckless, amazing moment. And here's what's so funny about it, is a moment that is that truly great was apparently a terror to one specific woman. Now, her name is Lorraine Groh. Her grandfather helped craft the first Lombardi trophy, and she's having a hard time with this.
And it takes a lot of work, a lot of hard work, a lot of hours go into it. It just really upset me that this trophy was disgraced and disrespected by being thrown as if it was a real football. I didn't sleep for the past two nights because of this. I was that upset because I know the passion that goes into this trophy and how my dad and all his fellow silversmiths are so proud to make this. I personally would like an apology, not just to me and my family and the other silversmiths, but to the fans.
An apology! I need Tom Brady to stop what he's doing and give me a call and apologize. How dare he throw that trophy?
I'm sure Tom Brady get right on that when he sobers up.
Oh yeah, no, he's just feeling so bad about all of it. He's gonna regret this for the rest of his life. I mean, we're gonna talk to Tom Brady when he's 85, and he'll still have another good 40 years left in him.
Well, he'll still be playing, Vince.
Yeah, he might still be playing at that point. Although he'll be in fan controlled football at that point. Now they're gonna be like, Tom, you have any regrets in your life? You know, there's that one time I threw the Lombardi off a boat.
Now, if somebody had dropped it, do you think Tom Brady would feel differently?
Here's the thing. No, I really don't think he would. Because ultimately, one, they would fish it out.
Yeah.
Two, it's a great story. And three, he's won a billion times. He doesn't care. And I think that's part of something.
But that kind of sucks for the other 52 guys.
What sucks for the other 52
it's
guys?
Not like,
they got
you know,
one now.
What's that?
They got one now.
Right, but they haven't like enjoyed it as much as Tom Brady has, where it's just like ho-hum. It's like another day for him, where you're like, he just throws it.
Well, they've enjoyed it more than him, right? Because for him, it's just like, yeah, I'm just here again. Like, yeah, I go to Chili's once
a month.
Well,
this was
We're
his first Super Bowl 20 years ago. What are the chances he's throwing the trophy on some Boston street corner?
Oh, well, there's none.
None.
And that's the point, though. Like, he's won so many times that he has no regard for the trophy
whatsoever.
But he
should still have regard for the other 52 guys, is my point.
No, and he's that many beers.
But, right. Well,
how many drinks
obviously he's blasted.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
How do you get mad at that? If you're like, yeah, you
I'm
know,
not telling you I'm mad at it.
But
I'm just
as a player, like I would look at it and just go, yeah, Tom got loaded and you know chucked it off the boat. Like that's a great story.
I'm not telling you I'm mad at it, but maybe it would be something that like if he had a day to think about. Or if he was sober, he probably wouldn't do it.
Oh, he probably wouldn't, but that's not why any of us drink. You know?
Well, look, I understand that more than a lot of people. I mean, obviously, we all do things
yes.
that our confidence gets higher, as you know, as I know.
More on that later.
But again, if he could go back and probably think about it a month later, when he gets to training camp, he'll probably think to himself, I probably shouldn't have done that.
He probably shouldn't have done that. But also, for this woman to come out and say, I couldn't sleep.
Well, yeah. For her to say, I want an apology, get in line. Tom Brady's never going to talk to you ever. In his like, he could live to 180. He'll never talk to this woman.
Well, no. And here's the other thing, too, that I think is so funny. Because she spends all this time talking about, like, oh, well, the craftsmanship and the silver workers and the job that they do and the artistic nature. And, like, you can go in all that stuff. And, fine, I'm not going to tell you it's easy to make a trophy and do it out of silver and have it look good. But also, winning a Super Bowl is harder, okay? Winning a Super Bowl is harder.
Not for Tom Brady.
In a harder job. Well, not for him, but it's harder. It's like
Tom Brady could probably make the trophy himself, honestly. You don't think?
Maybe he could. I'll believe he's capable of anything at this point. Tom Brady can do whatever he wants, and I'm just going to believe he's going to be successful at it. That's the life that he's lived. He's a charmed guy. But
He's had a harder job. Like, if for any person on earth to win a Super Bowl is harder than making the trophy itself. So, he had a harder job. There's no reason, even on the most basic, simple level of trying to find some level of credibility with the argument. There's no way on God's green earth that Tom Brady should feel bad about throwing that trophy to the point of apology. I mean, to that woman. She didn't make it. You know, how many times do we have great inventions that we do terrible things with? An iPhone is one of the most exceptional things that has been made in the history of man. Okay? Smartphones changed everything. Our lives, totally different since, what, 2008 or 2009 when the iPhone first came out? Remember, like, sitting with people and when there was an uncomfortable silence, you didn't immediately look at your phone? It's been a while. Because we've had smartphones and iPhones for quite some time. But also, what do you do with this wonderful piece of technology? Because I know plenty of people, myself included, that, hey, sometimes you just got to take a deuce and scroll Twitter at the same time. It's a great invention. We do terrible things with it. I don't owe anybody an apology. It's what I do with what I've got. So it is what it is. But I just think it's hilarious that someone could actually demand. Can we just play it again for a couple of seconds? The pain in her voice is just so, it's so absurd.
It takes a lot of work, a lot of hard work. A lot of hours go into it. It just really upset me that this trophy was disgraced and disrespected by being thrown as if it was a real football. I didn't sleep for the past two nights because of this. I was that upset.
All right, that's good. It's just, it's so funny. She goes, this woman has decided, like, because you know it's not just that little moment right there. Like, there's been so many people over the last couple of days that I can't believe that Tom Brady did it. Like, her week has been completely ruined.
The fact the media went out to find her. Like, who would even think of, like, oh, let's find a relative of the person who created the trophy? Who would even think that way?
I don't know. And that's actually a good question. Did they seek her out and then this just happened because they, like, got her in a moment? She's like, oh, wow, I'm in this moment. I got to talk about it now. And I'm more sad than I actually thought I was. Or did she, like, feel so compelled by the misery and the injustice?
Like, Graceffa? Are people really that offended?
She is.
But I'm as a whole.
No, nobody would have even considered the idea of being offended for the trophy maker. Nobody on the planet. She is literally the only person. He didn't even make that trophy, as far as I know. He made the first one. So because the guy made a trophy 50 years ago, Tom Brady needs to apologize to her?
He made the prototype of what would become the Vince Lombardi trophy. Like, when Vince Lombardi was winning these, they weren't calling it the Vince Lombardi trophy.
Yeah. You know, I dinged a Ford when I was in high school. Where's Henry Ford's great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter? Well,
there are more Fords than Vince Lombardi trophies, as you would know.
So does that mean I could get a Ford and throw them into the river?
I mean, you could do whatever you want with your car. It's your car. Technically, the trophy doesn't belong to Tom Brady to throw. It belongs to the team.
Well, it belongs to the team, but let's be honest. So... It's just a great story. It's a great story. I wanted to get into more stuff this segment. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the Super Bowl and lessons that we've learned or things that we didn't learn. And, like, we've got some great stuff to talk about with that. We'll shelve it for a minute. Let's go to Christopher in Michigan. Christopher, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Good evening. I'm going to start off with, I've never really been a Tom Brady fan, but to actually see him drunked up in public was one of the greatest moments I've enjoyed of Tom Brady ever.
Yeah,
fact that he did that with the trophy. Trophies are meant to be, they're meant to have a history. You go to the Stanley Cup, you do, and that just adds to the history of it. If, you know, the fact that Tom Brady did it just adds even more to it. And I love him for that. I, to be honest with you, it's to see him stagger drunk and do what he did, more power to him. The man deserves a moment to enjoy himself, and he did.
So. Yeah, he had a great time, and we all laughed about it, and it was a great moment, and this woman just feels like it was the worst injustice ever. So, Christopher, I appreciate it, man. Yeah, now, this is important, Graceffa. This is very important. If Patrick Mahomes wants to pass Tom Brady, he's got to do a better feat than that next time he wins. Now the pressure's on.
I mean, he should just go to the highest point in Kansas City and throw the trophy off of it and hope somebody catches
it. Yeah, that's what he's got to do. Yeah. I would say tall building.
For Patrick Mahomes to pass Tom Brady in GOAT status, he would have to win, 8 more Super Bowls. and then, you know, throw one of the trophies off a bridge and hope Travis Kelce catches it.
Yeah, and you know he will. And for Mahomes, maybe he goes like no look or behind the back.
Sidearm.
Through the legs.
One where he's parallel to the ground like the other day.
I mean, that was, it's crazy. That, you know, a guy is special in any sport when their highlight plays aren't actually net positives.
Like they're not positives, yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, he did it a couple of times in that game. You just go, holy crap, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that in my life. And for Mahomes to be doing those kinds of things and lose because the ball is hitting his players in the face in the end zone, it just, that's a heartbreaking loss for Mahomes, man. That was a rough one. Guy goes in, he's got a bad toe, it needs surgery, we all know it. He's got no line, he's running for his life. They can't catch the ball with these miracle plays. Just brutal. So, anyway, the most important takeaway is Patrick Mahomes needs to throw the Lombardi off a very tall building or a bridge. If he wants to truly pass Tom Brady as the GOAT, the bar has now been raised. So, here's what we're going to do when we get back, okay? I want to get into again, because once the Super Bowl is won, we like to look at these teams and go, what are the lessons that we can learn here, right? Well, what are the things that we can take away from what just happened for that team that made it, that got to the top? And how can we apply that around the league?
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listening to the Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Vince Quinn back with you on CBS Sports Radio. And we have, oh my God, the juiciness of this story has every sports talk host in America frothing at the mouth. For Cepho, we have LeBron James, and he's been fined. For flopping. He's been fined for flopping. It's a big deal.
You know what, Vince? This is what makes me think that I can't possibly compare him to Michael Jordan ever again. This is the thing. this is the last straw. I can't compare LeBron to Michael Jordan ever again. This is it. The flopping and the fining and the throwing his hands up in the air. I mean, we can't compare him to Michael Jordan ever again.
No, you can't.
So anyone who wants to call and compare LeBron to Michael Jordan because of flopping, don't call us.
You are officially banned from that conversation because Michael Jordan never flopped, Graceffo, unless, you know, you just look it up on YouTube. And
or, you know, he had rules created for him, but you can continue.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing here, right? Like, the whole argument, because I can just, it's not even that I can sort of hear it in my head, but I can feel it. I can feel the attitude and the energy behind a take of like, well, LeBron James, the guy who wasn't taking shots at the end of games in the finals with the Heat all those years ago, who's too soft to be Michael Jordan, he's out here flopping again. You know, it's just, I can feel all of that, and it's so gross. It just, So here's the thing. Again, one, Michael Jordan flopped, okay? Let's be honest about it. The guy flopped. He's done it before. And here's the other thing. He should. Whether it's Michael Jordan or Wilt Chamberlain or Oscar Robertson, like anybody, just Bill Russell, anybody who's ever played basketball on a professional level has flopped, most likely. Like 99% chance that player at some point in their career, if not all the time, flops. Of course they flop. Because it benefits you to do it. And it doesn't... What's the harm? You know what happened for LeBron? Nothing. I mean, like, he got fined, I think. If he even got fined, I think it might have been a warning. And if he gets to three... Can you double-check this, Graceffo, the penalty for this? Because I'm pretty sure he got a warning. It was like, okay, LeBron, you just flopped. Don't do that. And then, you know, nothing happens. And then he does it again, and then they could send him another letter and be like, well, if you didn't think we were angry from the first letter, we're really angry now. But nothing happens. And then I think the third time
is when they finally find him. NBC Sports' page that had an article about it, and I think the info's in there, if that helps. So it's only a warning. He got a warning at first. He gets a warning, I think, the second time. The third time turns into, and this is a big one, okay? Because think about this. You flopped. Flopped to the point of not NBA flopping, right? Because we know it happens all the time. It happens in every single game that you watch every single night. People flop constantly. So to be flopping to the level of exception that the league reaches out to you personally and goes, listen, pal, we know people flop, but this is ridiculous. Do you know what the fine is for doing this three times? Three. That level of egregious flopping. The number I saw, $5,000.
Straight cash, homie.
$5,000. What is $5,000 to literally anybody in the NBA? Anybody.
That's a fun night at a certain club, Vince.
Yeah, it's a forgettable night. I mean,
when you got your friends George Washington hanging out with you at a certain club, that could be a fun night.
I mean, how many times has an NBA player gone out and spent $5K at bars and clubs and restaurants, and like a week later, they're like, "So, what'd you do on Friday?" And they're like, "Oh, I don't even know." You know, it doesn't matter to have that kind of thing happen three separate times, and the fine is $5,000 is such a great statement, honestly, of how the league feels about flopping, which is they know it's a part of the game. They know there's nothing to be done about it. They know it's smart for players to do it, and they just try to keep it from getting totally out of hand. That's all it is. It's just, don't embarrass us all the time when you do this. Because here's the thing, and I'll be honest with you, as much as I watch the NBA, I see that kind of flopping so constantly that it doesn't even mean anything to me anymore. Like, it doesn't register. I don't see a guy fall over and I go, oh my God, that's a flop. It's just like, I don't know, odds are he flopped, who cares? You know, it's just, play's going to keep resuming unless it's totally ridiculous. And that's the thing. The other guy that got fined with LeBron, it's so funny. They did this as teammates, which shows LeBron is a good teammate because he did it with his teammate. They both got a stern letter for flopping at the same time. Kyle Kuzma. Because Kyle Kuzma, in the same game, he goes down and, oh my God, he's spinning, he's twirling, his arms are straight up in the air as he's doing it. It is a sight to be seen. Like, if you open up a jewelry box and there's that little ballerina twirling around, like, that's what it was with Kyle Kuzma. Just up and he's spinning and falling and, oh my goodness, he's been hit so hard. He really wasn't hit at all. So he got a warning for it. But the league doesn't care. They don't care about flopping. And really, I don't either. I don't. Let LeBron flop doesn't say anything about LeBron because everybody does it and does it with reason. Look at James Harden's career, okay? What's made James Harden one of the most efficient, unbelievable offensive machines we've ever seen in our lives? He just draws fouls all the time. He finds all of these ways to bait people into fouls that half the time they don't even plan to commit the foul. It's not even a conscious thought. They just accidentally fall into him or something. And as much as he does that and is gifted at doing it, it's his game. You know, that's what he does. Like, it makes him great. It gets him in the MVP conversation. So working fouls is just what you do. And here's the thing, too, is you might look at this and go, well, this is the NBA's problem, and how can they do this? And again, one, it's across eras, so let's not act like it's a new problem here. Everybody's done it. But the other thing is, and I think this is really important, for the NBA and flopping, it's not just a basketball problem. It's a soccer problem, too, right? It's just a part of the game, and it's almost impossible to legislate outside of the, hey, we know this is a flop and it's completely egregious. You just can't tell. Just think of the job of figuring out flopping night in and night out, right? You're watching people that are these big, strong athletes. They're running at ridiculous speeds. They can lift cars without any effort. You know, it's just, they're monstrous people. They're big. They're the greatest athletes the planet has to offer. You're getting these people, and they're colliding with each other constantly at those speeds. They're going to fall over. Of course they are. They're going to fall over all the time. So to judge every single collision when you're not a part of it and go, oh, I didn't hit that guy. I'm just watching two guys hit each other. Oh, that was definitely hard enough to knock this guy over. Or this was maybe he's leaning on that a little too much. That's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing to figure out. So it's not just an NBA problem. It's a soccer problem, and it's not going anywhere. So for LeBron to get fined for the flop, I think is hilarious. I just know that's going to get blown out of proportion. Or I have a good feeling that will have like a good day or two of people just really laying into LeBron for no good reason. But, you know, that's the life of LeBron James. And I guess all things considered, he's fine with it. He'll take that heat. But it doesn't say anything about him. And it just is what it is. So anyway, that happened with LeBron. I thought it was hysterical. And I wanted to talk about it. Now, something else we can get into here. If you want to join the show, by the way, 855-212-4227. That's how you get in. 855-212-4227. Let's talk about one of the worst times of year. It's draft season, baby. It's draft season for the NFL. And on some level, the draft drives me absolutely nuts. Because, and we're seeing this now with Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson, quarterback at BYU. Already, the kid is getting dragged. He wasn't a captain to start the season. Wasn't a captain. Team didn't name him a captain. What does that say about Zach Wilson? Is he a leader? Is he a good person? Apparently, he's got a family with some money. Everybody with money doesn't want to play football, apparently. So, like, you look at the whole situation. You go, okay. One, we love to act like we know people because we see them on TV or we watch certain highlights, or you talk to one person about them for 5 minutes, you know? You don't know anybody. You don't know anybody. It takes time to actually know somebody. Have you ever had a point where you met someone, and you've been around for a while, like it's somebody you work with, and it's like, wow, I couldn't believe this, but I was driving around the other day and I saw Ted on the road. And I'm like, "What? Why is Ted walking down the street? This is nowhere near his neighborhood." And Ted, he walks down the street. He picks up a dead skunk. He throws it in his car. Guy eats roadkill. I just didn't know. Like, I've known him for 20 years. Been eating roadkill this whole time. You don't know. That's a completely absurd example. But all I'm saying is there are times when you think you know somebody and you don't. You don't, because seeing people in one context is not the whole person. Who you are at work is not who you are at home, right? Who you are with one person is not who you are with another person, necessarily. You act different ways with different people because they've got different vibes, different personalities. You know what I mean? Like, things are just, they're not so simple. People are complicated. And so to get all these sweeping generalizations and put them out in the public for God knows what reason. And here's the best part about it. The best and the worst part about it is some of the bashing that goes on with these kids and trying to slam their reputations. You look at these people, and they're doing it because they want the kid. Because they want to draft the kid. They're slamming him. They're saying these negative things with the idea that if we say enough negative things about him in the public, people won't draft him, and then we can draft him. So what? You tell the kid, hey, great thing we spread all those terrible rumors about you. Welcome to the team. It's crazy. It's crazy. Draft season is crazy. Reading 5 million mock drafts, you know, if you want to run a mock draft simulator, knock yourself out. Go ahead. I don't read them. I'm just being honest. I don't, it's not for me. I like to know what a player's about. I like to know their skills. What are they good at? What are they bad at? What are the systems they could fit in? What did they do in college? Little bit of their backstory. Like, all those things. Profiling players is great. And one of the nice things about today in the modern age is you've got so many people, whether it's, you know, professional and their notable networks, or it's just somebody at home in their house on their free time. The level of scouting that goes on today is incredibly in-depth. I mean, the well-written reports
and videos that you can watch. I mean, there's times where I've been getting ready for the draft because I just want to know who some of these guys are. And as I'm getting there, you can watch videos where it's like, all right, here's a wide receiver from Southern Miss, and here's every snap that that wide receiver took in five games of the season this year. And you go like, wow, somebody actually took the time to get some random receiver from Southern Miss who might get drafted in the fifth, and they cut up every play of that guy and put them all together and took the time to put that online and scout the guy and all that stuff that goes with it. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible the amount of stuff that goes on. So for draft people, they can do some great work, but also mock drafts and just all the slamming, when you pile it all up, it's completely nuts. On some level, it's just totally insane. Now, here's one thing that I also thought, by the way. This just didn't make any sense to me. Trevor Lawrence threw at a pro day the other day. Now, Lawrence is going to be getting surgery. He's got a problem in his left shoulder, non-throwing shoulder, but he's got an issue there. I think it's a tear, and so he needs surgery. And the idea is he's going to be ready in, you know, 5-6 months. But he decided he was going to go, and he wanted to show up, and Urban Meyer was there, and a couple other, I mean, basically any coach that was picking towards the top, I would figure was there to take a look at Trevor Lawrence. So he does that, and my question is why? Did Trevor Lawrence really need to do a pro day at this point? Because I got to tell you, I'm reading an article about it, and I think it was one of the coaches with Jacksonville. Maybe it was the offensive coordinator or something. And there was a quote where it was something to the effect of, yeah, I just want to see how the ball comes out of his hand. I want to get a chance to talk to the guy and whatever, which, you know, the guy eventually acknowledged they weren't getting the chance to talk with the guy because of COVID. Trevor Lawrence wasn't meeting with everybody in person face-to-face like that. And two, at some point, isn't the film enough? I just don't know what Trevor Lawrence needs to do. If you're Jacksonville, do you really have any hesitations? Do you really have any doubts about how the ball comes out of his hand? Do you? Like, do you really believe any of that? And Graceffo's in my ear like, yes. So, and by the way, we'll be doing something with Trevor Lawrence in a couple of minutes here. But for a pro day? Why? I don't know what it does for him. I don't know. The guy's going to be the number one pick in the draft. You might as well have gotten the surgery as soon as possible. He could have gotten the surgery, what, like a month ago? Should have gotten the surgery a month ago. I don't know why. What's he doing with a pro day? They're going to draft the number one overall. Are they really getting on the plane in Jacksonville going, you know, I had so many doubts about Trevor Lawrence. I'm glad this pro day cleared up everything. Yeah, throwing in shorts with a shoulder that you know is bad right now. Like, what is it doing? It only hurts his chances. I just, maybe I'm missing something here, but I just did not understand Trevor Lawrence needing to host a pro day at all.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That song's so good. That song's a jam. Good work, Kelly Clarkson. Good work by you. Let's get into something here because it's Valentine's Day, and the love of Mr. James Graceffo's life, who's producing this fine show, is one Trevor Lawrence. Now, unfortunately, it's not a fully requited love. Because, as you know, if you listen to the show, James Graceffo is not a fan of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He is, in fact, a fan of the number two in the draft, New York Jets. And so what we would like to do and what I would like to help Graceffo do is we are going to try to convince Trevor Lawrence to skip out on Jacksonville and demand that he goes to the Jets. And so we're just going to inform him. We're just sending out little messages here. We're just, you know, just stating simple facts about why Trevor Lawrence should not be a Jaguar and he should be a Jet. We call it Dear Trevor Lawrence. And Graceffo, the floor is yours.
Hi, Vince. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Good to hear. Now, these are all takes from an impartial person. I want you to know that. First of all.
Yes.
Very right down the middle. Now, we're going to start with a line of questioning.
Okay.
Since Shad Khan has taken over the Jacksonville Jaguars, who has the worst record in the NFL?
Would that be the Jacksonville Jaguars?
That'd be correct.
Oh, that's tough.
Now, another question.
Okay.
How many Super Bowls has the city of Jacksonville hosted?
At least two, right?
I think it's one.
One? Okay.
But I could double check that for you.
There's been a lot in Florida.
And the fact that they're in Florida and the NFL does not want to go to Jacksonville should tell you all that you need to know about Trevor Lawrence going to Jacksonville. They don't want to take their biggest event to a city in Florida. Imagine that. Question number three. In terms of Jacksonville's geography, would you want to spend time living in southern Georgia? Because that's basically where it is. You don't get the weather of Florida. You don't get the sun of Florida as much as you would in southern Florida. So would you basically want to live in southern Georgia?
No, I would not.
Wouldn't you much rather live in New York City as opposed to southern Georgia?
New York City's pretty nice.
Yeah, I think New York City's pretty nice. Now, in terms of people running the Jacksonville Jaguars, do you think there's any long-term future that the 60-something-year-old college coach will be sticking around to be an NFL head coach for very long?
No, there's no reason to believe that.
Oh, simply because of his track record? Or would you say otherwise?
I'd say there's a bunch of factors, but yes, there's certainly his track record.
Do you think he'll get so sick of losing so quickly that he will just bail on everyone and quit? Like he is done.
I could see that happening, yeah.
So, basically his track record.
His track record.
Mm-hmm. And to top it all off, do you think Trevor Lawrence wants to go visit Abbey Road anytime soon? Because, you know, everything you hear about this team, they're moving to London every year. So, Trevor, you don't want to live in London. Please, you don't want to live in London. Find a way. Do us all a favor. Nobody wants to see you in Jacksonville, Florida.
And we do this because we love you,
the
Trevor
defense
Lawrence rests.
It's
time to become a New York Jet. We will remind him every week until the draft, and we'll see if he commits. Now,
of all those things I pointed out to you,
yes,
which do you think is the most damning?
The most damning is the losing. The losing is really
damning.
Oh,
would you say that the losing is the most damning thing? That the fact that since this guy took over the stewardship of the franchise, they have the worst record in the sport. The worst. You are worse than the Lions. You are worse than the Browns. Wait for it. You are worse than the Jets.
All the more reason
take
to go to the Jets.
Take it all in.
There you go. So,
Not to mention, the guy running the franchise, who's now going to be on the sidelines, was in some nice hot water this week, if you want to get to that.
I do want to get to that in a little bit. I want to get to that right now.
You want to get to that right now?
Well, we only got a couple of minutes here.
That's true.
And that's going to take some time. There's just a lot. That is a spicy meat to ball,
let's put it this
as
way.
My people like to say.
Urban Meyer is going to find out very quickly that he cannot run things the same way he ran things in Gainesville or Columbus, because there's actual media that will ask him questions.
Yeah, and so there's a lot to get to with the Urban Meyer stuff. We'll dig into all of that. Here's something I want to get off my chest that I've had for a little while now. So I've been over the past, really the past couple of months, and maybe more specifically in the past month, there's been a lot of conversation about Tom Brady, naturally, but with that conversation is always conversation about Bill Belichick. And once Brady won the Super Bowl, naturally, everybody's like, Bill Belichick, did he ever do anything? Has he ever coached a winning team? Is he useful at all? Was he just a puppet of Tom Brady? That's not exactly what they were saying, but you get what I mean, right? There was so much devaluing Bill Belichick. It's Bill Belichick, right? Like, it's absurd on its face. The fact that we so quickly forget things that Tom Brady, who we acknowledged even with Belichick, was the greatest quarterback of all time, for him to go to another team with a loaded roster and win again is somehow a massive indictment on the existence and history of Bill Belichick. It's just beyond me. But here's one of the things that now I think is really important to state. Because, yes, Brady won the Super Bowl without Belichick, right? He did. You remember the last Super Bowl he won before that?
when they beat the Rams. Tom Brady sure as hell didn't win that Super Bowl, okay? Let's be honest here. That was a Belichick Super Bowl in every sense of it. Every sense. That was all Belichick all the way. You look at the numbers for Brady in that game. Not very impressive. In fact, he threw zero touchdowns and one interception in that game, okay? They put up, what, 10 points, 13 points? Defensive masterpiece. That's what that game was. They shut down one of the best offenses in the NFL, in the Rams. They just completely embarrassed them. Goff looked like a joke. They put up 3 points in that Super Bowl. Three. The Rams put up three. That was 2 years ago with Brady. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's insane how quickly people forget other major events. I mean, that's another Super Bowl. Brady didn't win that Super Bowl, but because he was on the team, he gets all the credit. Now that he's out, Belichick, it's just like, let's just dump on Belichick. But let's not forget that Belichick has won Super Bowls for Brady, and he did that multiple times, especially early in Brady's career. So it goes both ways here, all right? Like, it's weird that I've become this big-time Belichick defender all of a sudden. I did not expect myself to go this route, but it's... You gotta spit some facts once in a while. The guy's been disrespected. He's the greatest coach that's ever lived. And to just be like, well, Brady, the greatest quarterback who ever lived, one with a loaded roster, it's just, you're out of your minds, all right? It doesn't have to be about Belichick. It could be that they're both great, and maybe Belichick wins again in 2 years with God knows who. He gets Ryan Fitzpatrick and decides to do it out of spite. I don't know. But it's just nuts to me. Anyway, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. I'm Vince Quinn. You can always reach out on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch. Twitch is my new thing, by the way. I'm like a big Twitch guy. Excuse me. All of a sudden, I'm like, I spent like 8 hours one day just learning how Twitch worked. And now I'm just nonstop. I'm like making graphics for it all the time. And I've just been on Twitch a lot. So if you like Twitch, if you're on there, I'm on Twitch now. I've been hopping on during the middle of the week. I did an FCF pregame show before I came on tonight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.